Let's take a moment and pray together. Gracious God, give us humble, teachable, and obedient hearts, that we may receive what you have revealed and do what you have commanded. Since we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth, make us hunger for this heavenly food, that it may nourish us today in the ways of eternal life, through Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Amen. So leading up to our reading in Luke this morning are several of Jesus' greatest hits. The feeding of the 5,000, Jesus' appearance with Moses and Elijah on the mountain, Jesus' prediction of his death twice, and Peter's declaration of Jesus as the Messiah, all of which sets the stage for today's familiar story, the mission of the 70. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of Luke, starting in verse 1, going through to verse 12, and then we'll skip down to verse 17. It begins on page 844 in your pew Bible. Hear God's word for us today. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for a laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name, even demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" This has been the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We'll try that again. 12. Right on. 12 was the number that you will recall of disciples that Jesus calls apostles earlier in Luke's gospel. And in chapter 9, the scripture text we looked at the last time I preached on a Sunday morning, Jesus sends out the 12 to go and cure diseases and proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. 12 is a significant number throughout scriptures. You'll recall that there were 12 sons of Jacob that then represented 12 tribes of Israel. 12 was a symbol, if you will, of the gathered people of God, that people that God had called and claimed, that God freed from slavery in Egypt and then led through the wilderness and guided to a promised land. 12 was a kind of shorthand to refer to that people that could trace the ancestry of their faith, that could go back all the way to Abraham and Sarah, who you recall were called by God back in Genesis 12 and told their descendants would number as many as the stars in the sky. And God said to Abraham and Sarah, "I will bless you and your descendants, and I will make you a blessing to all peoples or nations of the earth. That is, through you, others will know blessing themselves or be blessed." So 12, in a way, is a reference to that ancient call of the people of God, both to know the blessing of God and be sent out in God's name to be a blessing to the earth. And in many ways, back in chapter 9 of Luke, we saw that story of God's people, that story in the Hebrew Scriptures being given a new chapter, in a way, this time with the nexus being Jesus Christ himself. Jesus has not only blessed these disciples with his teaching and his presence, but then he sends them out to heal, to cast out evil, to proclaim the kingdom of God had come near. Sends out the 12 in this way. Now, in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three of them have a story of Jesus sending out the 12. But only Luke's Gospel tells the story that Jim read from Luke 10. Only Luke's gospel tells of this subsequent sending of far more disciples than just the 12. How many disciples were sent out? Well, that's a subject of some debate. There are ancient manuscripts that list the number of those who are sent out as 72. 72 may have been sent out by Jesus in today's passage. Now, 72 is an interesting number because if you add 72 plus 12, that is, you add the disciples sent out in today's text, if it be 72, and 12, the apostles that were sent out back in Luke 9, together, you get, of course, 84, and 84 is 12 times 7. And 7, of course, is a symbolic number in the Hebrew tradition of completeness or wholeness or holiness. So 12 times 7 could be a reference to the whole or complete or holy people of God being sent out in God's name to do God's work. Some scholars go with 72 as the number, but you might have noticed 70. Is listed. Most ancient manuscripts list the number of disciples as 70, and 70 has great significance as well. You'll recall from Exodus that Moses appoints 70 elders, leaders of God's people. And also, you'll read in Exodus that there were 70 offspring of Jacob. That is not just including the 12 sons of Jacob, but if you look at the broader progeny of Jacob, that number at the start of Exodus, we read, is 70. And so, there may well be a reference back in Luke 9 to Jesus sending out the 12 like the 12 sons of Jacob. And then this reference in Luke 10 to Jesus sending out the 70, that is the larger progeny or children of Jacob, sending out the people of God. Now, in this imagery we get in today's text of being sent out, of this larger number being sent out, there's also this imagery we get of being gathered back in afterwards in verses 17 through 20. And that imagery of being sent out and being brought back in, it recalls the story of a good shepherd, doesn't it? Of the Psalm 23 and the psalmist who says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Rebecca reminded us today of that image in John's gospel of Jesus as the good shepherd. And in today's passage, when Jesus sends out the 70, he says, "I'm sending you out like lambs." Lambs being sent out and then brought back afterwards, as we read of the 70 coming back to celebrate how Christ had been at work, how God's kingdom had been evident in these various villages where the 70 had been sent. Being sent out, being brought back in, there's that imagery of a shepherd sending out sheep, but we read Jesus is sending them out like lambs among wolves. Lambs among wolves. So is that a good shepherd who would send out the lambs among wolves? And Jesus says before sending out these 70, "Leave behind your bag, your purse, your sandals." That is, he's sending them out vulnerable to these villages. Why? Why would he do that? When he says and knows there are wolves out there, later he will refer to snakes and scorpions, and yet he sends them out without bag, purse, or sandals. why? Well, maybe Jesus is teaching them to rely on the provisions that he is giving them as he sends them out. And when he sends them out, he is giving them two wonderful provisions. The first provision he sends them with, he gives them, well, a bit of himself. He gives them his name. We will read later in today's text in verses 17 through 20 how the disciples were sent out in Jesus' name. We'll also read how he sent them out with the authority to trample on scorpions and snakes. Now, scorpions and snakes were very real threats to travelers back in ancient times, and they still are to people traveling through the desert today, like migrants seeking to cross through the Arizona desert. Scorpions and snakes represent a great threat, but Jesus gives them his authority, that authority given by God to him. It goes with them. It's like the very Spirit of Christ heads with them, and that is a tremendous provision. There's a sense the Good Shepherd is with the sheep. It's like back in Psalm 23 when the psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." That symbolic presence of the shepherd and their protection with the staff and rod. That, in a way, is what Jesus is sending out the 72 with as he has them head out into these villages. It's something wonderful to lean on, the name, the authority, the power, the presence of Christ. For these past 2 years, many of us have known an unprecedented sense of being a sheep scattered, haven't we? For so many months, these past 2 years, we've been sent out from symbolic spaces of gathering like this one, and out into a world where we've had to endure the constant threat of this wolf called COVID-19, a wolf at our doorstep. And we face that wolf without being able to gather in physical spaces like this one to remember and celebrate and savor the call of Christ. Spaces like this one, they evoke a sheepfold, don't they? You can see over in one of the stained glass windows that were taken from this congregation's sanctuary back before we moved here in the late 50s and early 60s, one of the medallions that presents a shepherd carrying a sheep, that image of the Good Shepherd leading the sheep. That is a powerful image, and I like to think of these spaces like this evoking that sense of a sheepfold where the sheep can gather close to the Good Shepherd, be nurtured, receive teaching, have a sense of God's presence together, to know life in a sheepfold. Here, we've been able to celebrate baptisms. Here, February 20th, we had some of your leaders come forward to be ordained and installed. We welcome new members in this space. It's like a sense of family we have here. Now, over the past 2 years, we've still been able to worship. Many are worshiping today online, and it's a wonderful way of connecting that we can continue. But even when we were worshiping online, staff was often thinking, are there ways we can evoke this space? Ways we can show the table in the background and cross to remember that there's still that sense when we come together Sunday morning that we have some experience of being in a sheepfold, being a community gathered in the presence of Christ. We've known a deep sense of scattering, and so we've longed for that. And I hope during that period of scattering, you've known that you can lean on that presence of Christ, not just that we know in here, and that not just that we know when we see an image of the sanctuary, but out this is out there too, out in your places of work, in your homes, out in remote regions, out when you hike, out when you go to try to love God and neighbor in the name of the one who sent you, out when you are seeking to do that ancient work of God's people, of being the people of God, receiving God's blessing, and being a blessing to others. Perhaps when you awoke one night over COVID-19, over these past 2 years, awoke at 3 a.m., fearing some terror of the night or the terror of that virus, you realized when you needed to how much you could lean on the love and grace of Christ, that presence that goes with you. But the name, the power, the authority of Christ, that's not the only provision that he gives the 70 as he sends them out. He gives them something else that's really important. We read that the 70 are sent out with another key provision, and that is he sends them out in pairs. They had another living, breathing follower of Jesus Christ to be on the journey with them, sharing life with them. Now, we've looked at the number 12 and the number 70 and 72. What about the number 2? What does 2 mean? And there are different explanations given. One is that 2 gives a power of testimony. When you have not just one person, but 2 people attesting to a particular event, then their testimony has power. There's many references in Scripture to requiring 2 witnesses to verify that something took place. And so when Jesus sends out the 70 2 by 2, they have another person with whom to give witness. So their testimony is powerful as they both proclaim that the kingdom of God had come near. But then as they come back to share with Jesus and other disciples all that they had seen and all that had happened out in the world, maybe 2's a reference to the power of testimony. Or maybe 2 is a reference to the power of protection that you can have in numbers. A wolf is going to be less likely to strike a pair of people than the wolf would a single person. And with 2, one of the pair could seek help if one of them got injured or care for the injured person. Maybe 2 symbolizes protection. But yet another explanation given for the number 2 is one I'll invite you to consider today. Think of 2 as more than one. Think of 2 as more than one. And being part of the Jesus flock, whether in places like this one or out in the world, is not an endeavor of one. It's like being in the studio or being out on the road, not as a solo performer, but as part of a band, part of an ensemble, part of an orchestra. That's how the Jesus movement is painted. That's how the missionary enterprise that Christ sends these 70 out to engage in is portrayed. I love the story that Bono will often share of a conversation he had with Bob Dylan. Many of you know Bono's the lead singer of the rock band U2. And he and 3 other classmates back when they were teenagers in Dublin formed a band called U2, and they went through these experiences of making music together, their first concert, their first album, their first tour. They did it all together as a band. And Bono would talk particularly about 1987, a big year for this band. That was the year their album, The Joshua Tree, came out. And they got international acclaim. Suddenly, for the first time, they were on the cover of Time magazine. They had number one hits. There were huge numbers of adoring fans, and the celebrity status, the fact that they were now so quickly recognized, was disorienting for them. They didn't know exactly how to make this transition when they were the same people before, but suddenly the world looked at them so differently. And Bono was telling this to Bob Dylan at one point back in the late 80s, describing what this was like. And Dylan said, "You're lucky. You had a band. That's lucky. I had to go through all this on my own." You had a band. You're lucky. If you read a recent interview with Billie Eilish, with a singer-songwriter who has risen to huge fame and is only 20 years old and had her first single at age 15, if you ask her what that's like, she'd say, "I'm still the same person." She even said in a recent interview, "I go to my house and it's the same house. Family's the same. Nothing's changed from before all this fame came, except," she says, "now I don't have as many friends. Now the people closest to me are my family and those I work with." It's like the world changed, and so many people just can't understand it because they're not on that particular road with her. It's lucky if you have a band when you head out on the road, and especially if you make it big. Jesus sending out the disciples two by two, perhaps that's a statement that you are a band, an ensemble, a choir. Well, today at Knox, we're celebrating that more than one factor to our faith, that fact that we are a band. And when the staff was considering how to frame that, how to have kind of a gathering or community themed Sunday, when we'd celebrate the Good Shepherd who sends the sheep out and welcomes them back in to places like this, we wondered what term would sum that up. And William, bless his heart, said, "Oh, you mean Ubuntu." We're like, "What?" Said Ubuntu. Like what? Says Ubuntu, this concept that I am because you are. I am because we are. As William shared at the beginning of the service, it shows up in a number of different languages spoken in the continent of Africa, but the concept is so similar, this notion that the I is interconnected to the we. The we is what we wanted to celebrate today. And so we call this Ubuntu Sunday. It's a day when we celebrate numbers like 2 and 12 and 70 and 72, where we savor the fact that we are not on this journey alone, but part of a body. The head of that body, Jesus Christ, the one who has called and claimed us as God's very own. But we also celebrate that we're part of a flock. We can gather in sheepfolds. We can head out into the world in Christ's name, but we are connected. We are one in Christ. Ubuntu Sunday. Now, there will still be wolves and snakes and scorpions out there. There were back in Jesus' time, back when the 70 are sent and when they regather. And friends, there are still wolves and snakes and scorpions in our time. One of those snakes is named Vladimir Putin. And Lord have mercy, is he cause for fear today. But in this world of real terrors, what a thing, what a blessed thing to gather however we can, in person, online, to know that sense that we are not ones, but twos, 12s, 70s, 72s, that we are a community connected, that Ubuntu is true for us as Christians. I am because you are, because we are. May we continue to know the Spirit of our Savior on that journey, and know that connection we have in Christ. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.